So anyway, 50 days after that resurrection, or that Passover, 50 days after is the Feast of Pentecost, and Jesus Christ walked on the earth for 40 days. So this period of time that we're in right now, before Pentecost, Jesus was still walking around appearing to people. And I want you to, this is going to be kind of like a Bible drill, but this won't take a whole long time, and probably telling you things you already know, and that's fine, but it's okay for us to re-examine all these things. It's okay for us to do that. So Jesus was crucified. Now, I have read that he was crucified or died at the moment that the lamb was sacrificed for the Passover. In Matthew 27, Pastor Ron preached on this last week. I'm just giving a little tiny bit of an update before we go on. But Matthew 27, 50 through 53, it says, Jesus cried out, he's on the cross, Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, and he gave up his spirit. That means it's finished. I've done everything I came to do. And then in 51 through 53, it says, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. Now, I want you to visualize that. I'm a real visual person, so I visualize all this as I'm reading it. And it says that the earth shook at his last breath. The rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Are you visualizing this? They didn't come out like spirits, or they came out, the people came out. They came out thick like we are. I mean, you didn't see through them like a ghost. No, the people came out. They were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. After the resurrection, so that means a couple of days there, those whole body people that have been dead are out walking around, and I don't know if they sat around on the tombs, I don't know what they did, but on the resurrection, they went into Jerusalem. So the earth shook, the rocks split, the holy people were raised to life. Okay? And then in Luke 23:44, it says, and this is a further part of that study, it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. Now we've added darkness. Darkness. And if you are someone who listens to... Karen, I'm sorry. Do we need to take the children down? Okay. I'm sorry. Father, bless these children. Father, bless these children. They are pastors' wives. They are pastors. They are evangelists. They are prophets. They are music people. They are choir leaders. They are praise. They're instrument players. They're all of that, Father. And that one of these days, they're going to step into the roles that we're all in. Hallelujah. Bless that study. I'm sorry, guys. It's been a long time since I've done this. Okay. All right. Now they've added darkness came over the land about the sixth hour until the ninth hour, 3 hours. For the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last. Now that was shocking to, in all these accounts, that was shocking to the centurions and the soldiers and all that were there. It was shocking to them. And this curtain, if you've never done a study on the temple, the old ancient temple, that curtain was so thickly woven that teams of oxen couldn't pull it apart. And it was in one weaving. It was not seamed. It was one weaving. It had gold thread. Now, how did they make the gold thread? They hammered it out. They hammered gold out and rolled it until it became thread, and they wove gold thread. If you're a seamstress, this should be very interesting to you. They took that gold thread and wove it into that curtain. Well, the curtain couldn't be pulled apart, so it was the finger of God that split it from the top to the bottom. If men were doing it, and this was a huge curtain, if the men were doing it, they would have tried to split it from the bottom up. The finger of God touched it and split it. So his death that day did not go unnoticed, and neither did the resurrection. The resurrection caused quite a stir. If you remember Jesus' resurrection still causes a stir today. It caused quite a stir the day it happened. All the women are running around. They have seen him. They have run. I mean, they're running and telling the disciples, "We have seen him. He's ministering to Mary Magdalene." She didn't even recognize him. He says, "I have not been to my Father yet. I've not gone to my Father," which I'm not sure what that means. Maybe he hadn't taken the blood up there yet to sprinkle on the mercy. I don't know. All I know is she didn't recognize him, but when he said her name, because sometimes it's just one word, and you know it's the Lord speaking, one word can come in your ear, and you know it is the Lord speaking. And he spoke her name, and she knew it. So there's a lot of carrying on. There's a lot of stir. And then he started appearing to people. Well, that's where we are now after the resurrection. That's the time frame that the church is in. Oh, I'm looking for him. Everywhere I look, I see Jesus. I look for Jesus everywhere. And I look at the weather, I look at the news, and I'll see the hand of God move, and I'll say, they don't even know it. They don't even know it when God's hand is moving. Don't be one of those that don't know it. He started appearing to people, and let me see if I can get around in here real quick, going back to Matthew 28. This is the account of Mary, and we're not going to read that. But there is more here that I would like to get to. Oh, go to Luke 24. So the resurrection was at sunrise. And in Luke 24, this is the road to Emmaus. And this is one of my favorite stories about after the resurrection, because it has so much that we need in it. The resurrection was right at sunshine, daybreak. And this account takes place on the road to Emmaus about 4 to 5 hours after that. And on the road to Emmaus, it says now the same day. That's the same day of the resurrection, the very same day. It says two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself, I don't know if he just appeared, I don't know. It says Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. That was on purpose. They were kept from recognizing him. And he says, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, said, "Ask him, are you the only visitor?" You know, a lot of visitors came in over Passover. "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus says, "What things?" And he said, "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. So these people were not ignorant. They knew. Maybe they had followed around with Jesus. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And there was a little mix-up in the way the Jews felt the Messiah would come. And I want you to know, there's still a mix-up. There's still a mix-up. Yeah. There's a lot of Jews that have come to know Jesus as their Messiah, but they're still waiting for the Messiah. They're still waiting. Still a mix-up. There's still a resurrection still causes a big stir. Big stir. So, and what is more, they said, it is the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just like they said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And so he started explaining them. And it says he started with Moses, went through all the prophets. Now they're walking along. And in my footnotes, it says it's about a 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So for 7 miles, they're walking. And he starts with Moses, all the prophets, and he explained to them what the scripture meant concerning himself. So as they're approaching the village, Jesus acted as though he's going to go farther, but they said, oh no, stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. He gave it to them. He gave them this meal. And I know we have accounts of the Last Supper, but I want to tell you, this is another one. He broke the bread. He gave thanks over it, and he began to give it to them. And when he did, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. We just read where it said they were kept from recognizing him because they needed this extra information. They needed it. And he disappeared from their sight. I guess he just disappeared from their sight. Is this exciting? You better believe it. I want your eyes open to where every single day you've seen the hand of God move. And you're looking for it. Your eyes are so open. You're driving around. You're looking for God to move. I'm looking for it. You're talking to the Lord in the car. And those are intimate times. Those are intimate times. Only you and God know what's going on. Only you and God know what's in that heart. And he starts working on that heart. You don't have to explain it to anybody because you can't explain it. Sometimes the Lord is doing a work. You don't even know what's going on, but you know it. You know it. And what he does is he takes your heart and he starts molding it and molding it before he puts it back in. Have you been molded? Have your eyes been opened? You say, well, I'm saved. Well, there's a whole lot of yuck that has to come out. And the more clear vision you get as the more yuck comes out. But you have to allow that to happen. It's like, and let me give you an example. It says he opened their eyes and they recognized him. And then it says they ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Now that he is in heaven interceding for us, the Holy Spirit does that. Does your heart ever burn within you? Yes, it does. When the word is being opened up to you that you've read a million times, and then the Lord drops his word on it. It's called rhema. He drops that on it. and you know the word. There were so many years that I could not understand what I read. I couldn't understand it. And I would read it and read it and read it, and that's the key. You may not understand it, but you keep reading it because it starts washing, and it washes out what's keeping you from understanding it. It's taking an ice pick and it's breaking down the wall that is keeping your eyes from seeing it. Look for God everywhere. And when you're reading the scripture and you get frustrated, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep reading it. Keep reading it until it's penetrated the bone and the marrow. I mean, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it penetrates to where it's in there. It's part of the DNA. It's part of your DNA. Well, it says, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked on the road and he opened the scripture to us? Oh, and he'll do it for you. He will open up his word to you. He will speak to you. Your eyes will be open. And it says, at once, they've already walked 7 miles. And at once, they returned to Jerusalem. They left the village of Emmaus. That's a two-way street. That's a two-way street. So when you get somewhere, and the Spirit's taken you, it might take you back because it's already revealed to you what you need to know. And he says, okay, let's go somewhere else. Let's go somewhere else. So they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled and saying, it is true. They didn't walk in and say, well, it's true. No. They went in there hopping and jumping. It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized them by them when he broke the bread. And then there's a part, and we're getting ready to finish up because the point I wanted to make is made. Keep your eyes open. Keep reading the word. He will take you where you need to go. Sin is going to take you where you don't want to go. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, will take you where you want to go, where he wants you to go. He will take you there. Later in this chapter, he appears to Thomas, who did not believe that anything happened. And he says, he was a skeptic. And, well, I'm not going to believe it unless I see him with my eyes, unless I see him. And I will go a step further. I have to touch his side where they cut him open. I have to touch those holes in his wrist where they hung him and his feet. Well, guess who shows up? The guy with all of that. He shows up and he said, Thomas, here they are. Put your finger in there. Put your hand in there. And then he said, blessed are those who believed without seeing me. But those who have to see me, sometimes you're going to miss it. Sometimes you're going to miss it. But I want you to know that blessed are you who believe in me. Blessed. And I've never seen Jesus. I've had dreams and all that kind of stuff, but not like this. So anyway, then he appears to the apostles on the mountain in Galilee, where he had already instructed them to go to Galilee. He says, after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. And then it was on that mountain that he commissioned. It was the Mount of Olives. And he commissioned the Great Commission, go into all the world. In 1 Corinthians 15:5, he appeared to Peter and the 12, and then 15:6, and this is Paul speaking. Let's go over there just real quick. We've got about 5 minutes, and then we're going to go ahead and give glory to God. And Manya, let's sing just one word this morning, because it's just one word a lot of times. 1 Corinthians 15:5, this is Paul. This is Paul speaking. And you remember Paul was not with these 12. But they cast lots right after Jesus was killed. They cast lots to see who was going to join them as the 12th person. And they cast lots for him. They selected Matthias. There's a lot of us who think Paul was the 12th, that he was the one that God chose. But anyway, he says, I was abnormally born, which means he did not walk with the Lord physically while the disciples were walking with him. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 15, 5, let's start at 3. He said, this is Paul speaking, what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to Scripture, and that he appeared to Peter and then the 12. Now, Paul, that was divine revelation that was given to Paul. Divine revelation. And then in verse 6 it says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, mostly of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, Jesus' brother. Then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me. I was abnormally born. He appeared to me. So Paul saw Jesus. He selected him. And you remember the story. It was darkness when all that was going on the cross. It was darkness. But guess what happened to Paul? It was a blinding light. It was a blinding light. He falls to the ground. I don't know if he's riding a horse. I don't know if he's walking. But he fell to the ground, and he was blinded by the light. Okay. And then through a series of events and leading by God, then Saul became Paul. And we know those stories, but I just want us to see this is the time frame up to Pentecost that we are in. And Jesus was making appearance after appearance after appearance, miracle after miracle after miracle, walking through walls, eating. He ate fish with them. He ate breakfast with them. Miraculous catch of fish in John 21. They didn't even recognize him. They're in the boat. They don't recognize him. He's on the shore. He says, hey, have you caught anything? And I said, no, and we've worked all night. He said, cast on the other side. And they did. Well, they couldn't even drag in so many fish. There was so many he couldn't drag in. And then it hit them. Peter jumps off the boat. He's dragging himself up the shore to them. Their eyes meet. Can you imagine their eyes meet because of the heartbreak that Peter had put himself through? The heartbreak. He had denied Christ 3 times. Denied him. And he was his friend. And he denied him. So 3 times Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And he said it again, Peter, do you love me? And then on the third denial over here, Jesus is going to bring it home. He said, do you love me? And Peter said, gosh, I'm so hurt that you would ask me. And he says, well, then you feed my sheep. Because they were not getting fed at the synagogue. He says, feed my sheep. So all these miracles are happening. All of these miracles. But their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. So all of those people he appeared to. And then in Acts also. And I would challenge you, read Acts, the first chapter. Read that, because we're not going to take time to read it. But he appeared with them then, ate a meal with them. And for all that 40 days, he appeared time to time to prove to them in many ways that he was alive. And on this day, on the day of Ascension that we're reading about in Acts, he was eating a meal. He opened their minds to understand Scripture as he had already done on the road to Emmaus. He told them he would send the Spirit. He went ahead and said, the Spirit is coming. He had already told them, but he said, it's coming, it's coming. I'm not going to leave you without help. And then he led them after they ate. He led them to where he would ascend to the Mount of Olives. And he said, gave them the Great Commission, blessed them. And he said, the angels told them, he's coming back exactly the way you saw him leave. So, you know, in our lifetime, when we see people saying, oh, the Messiah's here, the Messiah's there. Oh, well, he's coming, da-da-da. They give dates and all that kind of stuff. That is just false. That is just false. And don't you get hooked into that, and don't you believe that, because it's what the scripture says that we believe. So Jesus was still doing all the miraculous things. And this morning, if you need your mind opened, we're going to pray for you that your mind be opened. And I want you to look for Jesus everywhere you go. In your house, on the TV, driving your car, I want you to say, oh, God did that. When you're listening to the news and they start talking about different things, and you'll say, that's God. Because there are modern day prophets today, and they really are saying some good things. You have to be careful, but you know, let the Lord show you who to listen to. But I will say that I'll hear reporters say something, and I'll think, I just heard the prophet say that 2 weeks ago. So I look for God everywhere. I want you to look for God everywhere, everywhere, everywhere you are. I want your eyes open. Does anybody in here need prayer for your eyes to be opened? Come on up, praise team. Anybody? Okay, you're sitting there and you're not responding, because I know you need your eyes opened. I know you do. Even if your eyes are open, they need to be opened more. They really do.
If you reach the point of so much pain and agony in being tortured, most men will say anything it takes to get relieved of the pain. Right? Most men will say anything. I just want it to stop. I don't want to live. I want to die, and I want to die now. Put me out of my misery. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? Well, that's what they were doing to Jesus. You know what? Because they wanted a confession. You know, they didn't want to, like, they don't want this. We want to look good in the sight of all of Israel, since we're their occupiers. We want to show them how that they can trust us and how benevolent we are. Ah, that Jesus man, he finally did it. He finally did it. He confessed. Yeah. And then they would make it all known, right? Oh, you know, yeah, well, you know, it wasn't such a bad call there. You know, this insurrectionist, this Jesus, he claimed to be a king. You know, well, the king, come against Rome, going to lead the people in Israel in rebellion against Rome and Roman rule. All this Jesus here, yes, that's what we thought. That's what we thought all along. Yes, that's what they were looking for. You get to the breaking point. That's what Jesus. But may I say to you, do you know that the Word of God teaches that all of the stripes that Jesus took was the stripes of punishment for you and for me? The more they whipped him, the more they beat him, they mocked him, they ridiculed him, they slapped him, they spit in his face, they did all these things, they put a crown of thorns on him, and then they put a purple robe, like, because he's, you know, king of the Jews. And then they paraded him around and made fun of him. All Jesus had to do is say, Father, save me now. And he had no sin before God. But he didn't do that. See, that's the thing about lambs. You know, when they're being, slaughtered, may I say, that the one uniqueness of the nature of a lamb is that, did you know a lamb stays completely silent? Huh? I pastored in Wyoming for a while, and you know, big cattle country, more cows than there are people in Wyoming, right? And sparsely populated. And not only, but now in these days, those big ranches out there also have sheep. You know, used to have all the, you know, the sheep herders and the, right, and the cattlemen, they fight one another, right? You know, water rights and all of that. You know, I've lived right in the middle of that, Sheridan, Wyoming, right at the foothills of the Bighorn Mountains. Incredible place. Anyway, but they, at one time of year, it was a time for gathering in the sheep. You know, and the word says, you know, that a sheep is silent before it shears. He's not trying to break away. He's letting you, did you get that word? He's letting you handle him. Jesus was being handled, scourged, and he remained silent. Because you see, Jesus was the true sacrificial lamb. Jesus was the true sacrificial lamb. Let me read this. I'm going on to verse 3 there. It says, and they begin to come up to him and say, Hail, King of the Jews, and to give him blows to the face. Now, with all of this, you know, I'm just going to turn for a minute because I have a scripture that I'd like to read to you real quick. This scripture comes from Isaiah, and I wish I had time to read all of Isaiah 53, but I don't. But I'm going to read this, if you don't mind. Listen, this is about Jesus, and this is Isaiah 52. I'm going to start with verse 13. Behold, my servant will prosper. And that's Jesus. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Did you hear that? May I say it plainly? They beat the snot out of him. I don't even think we can really even fathom the brutality. And God made sure it was complete. Can you imagine that? His only begotten son. God made sure it was complete. So that you and I could truly find forgiveness of our sins. And could find the fellowship of the living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It amazes me. Here's a point to be made. Hebrews 9, 27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Well, this is decision time here. Now, when it's your turn to go to eternity, and you go, and you've not made a definite, concrete decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will enter into eternal life, not the life of God, but eternity as you are. And you will be judged. And you will be judged because you're still in your sins. Are you hearing me? If you're outside of Jesus, you're still in your sins. If you are in Jesus, because of Jesus, you have forgiveness of your sins. I'm going to read a last scripture here, and I want you to hear this, and I'll say one other point. This is in that same place. This is in Hebrews 9. That was verse 27. Listen to 28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him. No reference to sin. Jesus is going to appear when it's time to take his church home. And he's not going to come to anybody and say, all right, Ron, you know, you haven't done such a great job. Come on anyway. That's not going to happen. He's going to come again for his own. And there's going to be no reference to sin. You know why there's not going to be any reference to sin? Well, because you're perfect? No, because he paid it. He's not going to hold you accountable to what he's already paid. And then in that, you and I, we enter into eternal life, because right now we're living on this side, okay? But we're going to live on the other side. Make the decision. Make the decision. He'll never harm you. He loves you. I'm going to close this with one last thing that I thought was interesting. You know that, let me see if I can find this real quick. And I don't know if I can. I'm not going to look here very, but a minute. Well, now listen to this. This is it. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Who hasn't seen and just stopped for a minute going out to your car, and you're getting ready to get in your car, and there's that great big full moon. You know, it looks like you could almost reach out and grab a hold of and touch it. You know, and no matter how old you get, there's a wonder that enters into your heart. You just stop a minute and you just kind of look at it, you know. And there's all kinds of things, you know, because see, the Lord wants no one to be left out. He wants no one to be left out. And I'm going to close here with this. I saw this just the other day. You all probably know all about this. I didn't. And that is, you ever heard of Einstein's cross? Einstein's cross? You need to look it up. Good Lord. Einstein's cross. We're talking about Albert Einstein. And, you know, this is a part of astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy. You know, astrology is witchcraft. If you're involved in astrology, get out of it. Get out of it. You're practicing witchcraft. All right? You may not even have known that, but it is so true. All right? And so get out of it. All right, but Einstein's cross, let me explain it just a little bit to you. You know what's going on out in the universe? What's going out in another galaxy is rays of light that, look it up, a rays of light that form an absolutely perfect cross. There's a dot high, dot low, one to the right, one to the left, and then there's one in the center. And it's of such distinction. There's a quasar that is 8 billion light years away, is shining. And Albert Einstein said this in theory before it was ever proven. It wasn't ever known and proven until the Hubble telescope. And then Einstein's theory came completely true. He said light bends. He said light will bend. And so he, out of his formulas, showed that. But here, through the Hubble telescope, they found it. And what it is that the galaxy, I'll just say it the way I know it, the galaxy before us, okay? Then on the other side of that galaxy, we live in the Milky Way galaxy, and in the Pegasus galaxy sets this quasar. And this quasar is putting out this light. And when this light comes, it comes so random, and it bends and it goes around that galaxy that's in front of us. And then when it comes together, it forms a perfect symmetrical cross. Einstein's cross, that's when they named it.